Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and today we're going to talk about saving time on the construction site. Yeah, I said it. How about up to 2 months on your construction site with a really cool company called Storage Structures, where they've developed a system called the Alpha Framing System. And this timing is great. And we're going to talk through how we organically met Chris and the team through Digital Built Week and a lot of great platforms and conversations all coming together around this theme, Art of Construction, of blending offsite and onsite construction. We all know we got to do it. It's all over the news. It's everywhere. But we are going to get into it and talk about organically how people are actually doing that. And that's why we're so excited for this podcast. And kudos to so many people that are hitting us up on the message board. We're getting to everybody as fast as we can. Our team is doing everything we can to share as many stories as we can. But the ones I would tell you are coming up to the top are the ones with they're coming with a story of learn by doing, of moving the industry forward. So Storage Structures, Inc. is a nationally metal building subcontractor for the self-storage industry, and they've introduced its new Alpha Light Gauge. And what I love about it, their system, it's this 10 by 10 foot framing system, and it's comprised of mainly factory formed and assembled columns and beams. And one of the things where this is really, I want to convey to you audience, is they're using steel. That we've had a lot of podcasts recently around steel and blending different materials to systemize construction. And how is this going to benefit you is that we're all working together, AOC Tribe, to put together this systemized kit of parts. So steel has its value. The question is, where, how do we change the way we've always done it? So in developing the Alpha Framing System, they focused on solving major problems of our industry, including time of construction, right? That is the big 800-pound gorilla we're all trying to figure out. But right after time, when we say we never have enough time and we never have enough money, is that availability of labor. And then getting into the riches and the niches, and what are these things that they found and formulated over many years of learn by doing? Things like, how do we not have staining on the final product when it comes to storage units, and how we can scale that? So that's what Chris Pearson, the owner and operations of research and development, that's what he's been tasked to do at Storage Structures. So my perspective, Tribe, is this. Let's explore a Storage Structures builder's journey into system-built construction. And this is built with a T, folks. They're doing it, they're executing it, and their new Alpha Framing System is a great example of the entrepreneurial journey working on the business versus in the business. And this is how we're all going to continue to push construction forward. So Tribe, I'm so jazzed to go in and have you get to meet Chris Pearson, the owner of operations at this amazing company, putting together and learn about this Alpha Framing System through StorageStructuresInc.com. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
I'm not a morning person, so coffee has got to be the top of my list.
Well, good morning, Chris. Hopefully you had your cup of coffee and you're ready for this fireside chat, huh?
Yes, Devin. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You bet. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
So I'm an outdoorsman, but I had two places in mind. Is British Columbia. I've been to some real rural parts of British Columbia on a bear hunt and just seen some beautiful places, man. It's both challenging in its terrain and just the beauty of kind of it almost feels like you're the first person to ever step foot in some of those areas that I've walked. So
have you ever watched the TV show Alone?
I have.
So I'm watching that right now, and they're in Canada in like bear country. And I'm like just fascinated to where I guess I've kind of got soft to where I'm like, I love all of the fireside chat amenities of all the fun stuff we do when we're camping, but I love to go to a bed, and it's just fascinating to me the structures and what they're doing to manage bear country and actually stay alive of to to build better buildings is the whole thing is about food and shelter, right? And I think that show is super cool. And a lot of time when we get into that, give us one story from traveling to British Columbia. Did you go on a bear hunt or see it? Anything like that?
I did actually. Yeah. The cool story is I did go on a bear hunt and was successful in the bear hunt. The way we hunted.
Well, you're still here to tell us about it. So
yeah, that's right. We did live to tell the tale. So, we did actually. I was successful in getting a bear, but the way you hunt the bear really is basically with dogs. And after we killed the bear, and the guide was actually processing the bear and getting ready to pack it out, and the dogs all of a sudden started looking around and barking. And uh-oh, we're in the middle of nowhere. We kind of celebrating the victory of the kill. And next thing I know, the guide says, "Hey, get ready. Something's hunting us." It's like, what? And sure enough, I don't know if it's mountain lions. The good part was we never did see what it was. I think the dog scared it off, but it was one of those things where we were the hunter and we were becoming hunted. So it was kind of a wake up call there for a second, even though we didn't see what it was, but it was pretty exciting to say the least.
Yeah. I love that. Right. We do a lot of guided hunts with our clients for our window and door company and the projects we're working on in Colorado at a place called the Bluffs. As I take clients out there, it's funny of like, who's the hunter, who's the hunted, and who's the shooter, and who's the, of the game we're all playing, right? If to get into the same with who's the subcontractor and who's the general contractor to build better buildings. So thanks for sharing that with us. What do you like to do, or your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena and the silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction today?
Sure. As I said, I'm an outdoorsman, but I would say my most favorite hobby is just hanging out with my family. I have my wife, Jennifer, and I have two boys and one girl we just recently adopted 2 years ago. That is five. Good on you. And my boys are 17 and 15. So I just really enjoy hanging out with them, spending time with them. I mean, it's a good break from construction, as you know, can be a lot of pressure at times. So it's good to just get home and hang out with my family.
Awesome. Well, we got to know Chris. Chris, what's your story that led you to being the owner and the head of operations at Storage Structures?
So I've been in construction my entire life. I came from residential construction, starting out from humble beginnings and building houses and on framing crew. And as I worked my way up, I've always been a mechanical minded person. And as I started out at college and got to working with a general contractor where he was a little bit in a niche business of building self-storage is really where I fell in love with just light gauge metal. And it's also where I'd ultimately meet my business partner that we would start Storage Structures in 2007. And really just a learn by fire process. We just had a passion for construction and kind of got lucky and just fell into a niche business like self-storage. So that was one of the most interesting things is just self-storage grabbed us really. We didn't grab it. It was kind of a niche business where I fell in love with metal.
Well, we're definitely going to unpack that, right? So I love the comment where it found you and it's kind of steel has been this big conversation with a bunch of little conversations, right? Because we all learn by doing, right? And change is hard. And I challenge everybody, we'll put links in the show notes. They have a really good video to talk through their Alpha system and whatever you want to call it, their T62 column, they have systemized this kit of parts and they've really built a great demo video that's on their website. And so when you talk about it found you, what are some of the unique aspects of the storage space versus other building types? If I understand you right, you came from general kind of residential construction before niching in into the storage space.
Yeah. So self-storage is pretty unique in the fact that you're using a 10-foot grid system for self-storage. And it's almost a blend between a pre-engineered metal building and a drywall stick built system, if you will. Now, we at Storage Structures kind of specialize in multi-story framing, and it's just really comprised of...
Wait, when you add something on top of something, there's different complexities?
That's correct.
Which, again, back to that video, you guys do a great job of breaking out the kit of parts, to understanding how you're going to stack and then put a roof somewhere on a stack and how it's all going to come together, right?
That's correct. And one of the things that we got frustrated with over the years of being in self-storage, what we found is the system has not been changed in a number of years. Matter of fact, I don't know that it ever has. It has a high live load capacity for the storage industry as a requirement. And this load-bearing wall was a system that we have done in the past is very cumbersome in labor and time-consuming. It's also a long learning curve because you're trying to basically convert a metal building contractor and a drywall contractor to doing essentially kind of the same things and also having to put on a metal roof as well. So it's a very unique skill set and something you basically have to develop because there's no plug and play for this particular system. I mean, that's how those are some of the frustrating things that we were just dealing with in the self-storage industry.
If I'm hearing you right, it's kind of this, we've always done it this way. And you're like, there's got to be a better way when you came into it, if I heard you right, in 2007. And then, you know, sometimes the days are long and the years are short as we're recording this in July of 2022 to figure this out. And over that time frame, if I understand it right, you guys said, we got to build this kit of parts and brand this kit of parts when it comes to steel and storage units. And then that's where you came up with this Alpha framing system. Can you tell us about the new Alpha framing system and why you believe this is such a huge differentiator in your space?
Yeah. So one of the things that we noticed is with our customers, some of the issues that we had with our customers was we're sharing the same problems. We want to satisfy our customer, get through the job quickly. I mean, we've kind of feel this pull in the industry where we're not really working together. It's almost like we're fighting the same problems with labor and time consuming construction. And what we thought about when we set out to do this was like how we're aligned really in our thoughts that we want to get finished as quick as possible, right? Just like the developer wants us to. And labor being one of our pinch points in our business. I mean, because we had to develop new talent, and it took a long lead time to do that. It took a long training time to do so. As well, there was a high failure rate in obtaining those. So it was just very costly. And we're really sharing the frustrations that we would have with our developer and how slow it was. So that's where it came about. We wanted to...
You mean the developer's not happy when we're not done on time, but yet they are the waterfall world or method of... when they're 10 months behind schedule, you're still supposed to come and be on time, right?
Yeah, and that's correct. And it's not, there's a schedule issue, but it's also because of the cumbersome labor and amount of parts that needed to be assembled in the field. I mean, it just the normal process of self-storage, especially particularly in multi-story self-storage, is just very cumbersome. And the longer you go, of course, as seasons come or rainy season or snow or whatever it may be, or whatever geographic area you're in, we were just fighting the same problems. You know, our goal was to get our crews out on the job. Since we have a national footprint, we're basically traveling. We're asking a tough ask for our crews to travel all over the country. And so we want to get them back home to their families, just like they want to get back home to their families. So that's really how it started in the development. That was the thought process behind developing something that was more a kit of parts.
Love it. So let's back up just a little bit to make sure for myself and the rest of the tribe is that, you know, tell us about the problems that you're really facing. You kind of shed some light on that led you to developing this. Because if you're traveling, the kit of parts and everything has to be really systemized to be efficient, right? Otherwise, they're not coming home. That's one of those examples you just talked about. So I really want to, you know, since you lived it, anything else you'd want to tell the Art of Construction tribe? And we can't hear this stuff enough, right? We got to keep talking about the problems so that we can be better better with our customers for the solutions. So that really why you created this alpha framing system?
Well, for multiple reasons. And it was basically, we've been a company that wanted to say yes to our customer. We wanted to be, we wanted to offer, you know, any product or whatever to integrate into their system. And we were just sharing the same woes, I guess. But as part of it, because we spent, it was so labor intensive, it was also on our business, kept us from growing just because we were confined by the amount of labor that we had to get out into the field to assemble because of the number of parts and fasteners and assemblies that was required out in the field. So we basically just sat down and how it came about was, you know, our first goal was, is it a sourceable item? We were in the light gauge metal. This is where our buying power was. This is where our skill set was. And so we kind of took the metal. We wanted to make sure everything was sourceable for us. And we were using our strengths from our installers and our skill sets to our buying power, to our knowledge and our engineers that were experts in the light gauge metal systems. So when we started out, that was the game. So the end product, we wanted less in labor. We wanted something that was less exposure and quicker time frames turn around in the field. And as well, just and if we could get something with more strength and cleaner would be a big plus as well.
Yeah. So a lot of that stuff I'm hearing of, like, specifically, this is around labor issues, right? You are really facing those labor issues because you're trying to, and the part I would challenge you a little bit on is, you said you guys knew and you liked and you were used to using light gauge steel. What if there's somebody that has never worked with steel and they're all into wood, right? And I've been having a lot of conversations with people trying to flip the funnel, if you will, of flip the script of what you know has changed. Well, at the end of the day, we're all trying to use the most efficient ways to build better buildings, right? So, you know, if labor was that big issue, and you talked about fastening methods, and you do a great job of showcasing and talking about that on the video I referenced, how has that now changed with this alpha system?
Well, the biggest change came in from it being factory form. So the patented system, the technology is number one, the configuration and the added strength that the T62. So the alpha framing system is made up of basically two patents. One is the T62 column, which is an assembly of columns, and it's factory assembled, I should say. So that's reducing our time in the field. It's given us a better quality product. It nests and ship well. So it made us very economical because we didn't cube out on the trucks. We waited out just like we would typically when we send a building to a job site. And the other part of the system is the alpha beam. The beam is a composite of light gauge steel and concrete. So, and on a self-storage or a normal self-storage, we were pouring concrete on the elevated slabs anyway. We were putting a composite deck over a load-bearing wall system. And in this case, we basically combined those linear walls or those framed walls, if you will, into a beam that is composite. And, you know, when we were going through the R&D of this and toying with the idea of making some changes, when we modeled it, it showed good promise, you know, it did very good strength. And so we basically took a load-bearing wall system, which, say, in a 10-foot section would have 50 screws that is field applied and assembled. Each part was shipped in separately. To now, in a 10-foot section, we got three pieces with 16 connections in one given section. So we knew that time would, we could really eliminate a lot of time on the job and cumbersome. Not only that, it was just easier to assemble. But when we really went through the R&D process and continued, we went into testing labs, and is really when we had our, hey, I think we have something moment here, which was really interesting because we were hoping to have an incremental increase in strength, which we were wrong. It was really substantial, to say the least, if not double what we thought once we got into the lab.
I love that. And good on you for saying, hey, there's got to be a better way to do this, and putting yourself out there to really work on the business to say, what could we do better in the business to be more efficient, right? So good on you with that. And one of the things I really want to take a little time is, we've been going down in a lot of these different Riches in the Niches podcasts of, you know, day to day, I spend a lot of time in Colorado working on different passive house structures and energy efficiency, and a lot of conversation around thermal bridging and the science of buildings. I want to now dive deeper into the building science of your system, because you know, when it comes to steel, the wood people are going to say, well, how are you managing the thermal bridging and putting all this foam and all these things on the exterior and all these different ways? And I think one of the lessons why I was so excited to talk about storage structures is, yes, climate control, but yet they don't have the variations as a high-end custom home that you do in different construction types. But if we look at these different niches and learn from each other, what was your R&D process like to develop this? And what is the material, and what does this change about buildings on the job site around kind of the building science of your system?
Sure. Yeah, the science portion of that question is really what started us. We knew light gauge metal, and that was our strength. And we were trying to make everything that was sourceable, trying not to change our customer or making a big ask for our customer to ask for some other new component that may have a long lead time or whatever. So the science or the materials behind it basically is, we wanted to stay in the light gauge. And light gauge, as you know, the composition of it is, it's steel to weight ratio, or it's a strength to weight ratio, I should say, is phenomenal. And light gauge is just a superior product. And not only is it green, but it performs well in tension. And on the other side of it was concrete. And the reason that we looked for a composite type system, because the composition of concrete is strong in compression, it's weak in tension. So really, we started kind of trying to wrap our mind around, okay, this composite concrete is relatively cheap. Light gauge steel is relatively cheap. They both have their strengths and weaknesses. But when you combine them, which is just a two common construction materials, and when combined, they perform off the charts. You know, if they're in the right assembly or in the right, in their right engineered place, I should say.
And that's a great explanation, because when you say the word composition or composite, it's the blending of different things together, right? And if you take two known formulas that are known being separate, but yet steel and concrete are used together all the time, but if there's different things coming together. But then you also have a whole wave of people about the carbon footprint and all these things around concrete. We better look at this. And it's one of the shiny objects in the news right now about concrete shortages, right? So you got to understand different trade odds as you're putting compositions together. So we've talked a lot about storage structures, which is really the platform that built the Alpha framing system. I'm curious, have you guys had any conversations about using this potentially on multifamily or other systems where this could really scale from what you've done from niching in on the storage systems?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of developers in our arena, and I say our arena as in self-storage, that are also a lot of multifamily developers as well. And what we found very quickly as we came out with the testing that was finalized in the system, and after they've seen a couple of them go up and the speed in which they go up, we had developers not even really want to talk to us about self-storage anymore. They wanted to move into the multifamily. Hey, listen, I think we have a use here. And so that was very interesting, because it almost became, for our customer, was just pulling us, and we had several customers pulling us into a, trying to get us into a new arena. Now, one of the downsides that I'll say or interject is, as a smaller company going through testing in a new system and trying to better our own industry, we didn't really know that industry as well. So it's been a big learning curve and a lot of testing that we've had have gone through to try to get us there. But it was basically, to answer your question, was the customer was pulling us over. It's pretty interesting to see how excited or that they were longing for a new system, almost to the point of, hey, let's don't talk about self-storage anymore. Let's talk about multifamily.
So there you have it, Tribe. When the customer asks for something, you listen, right? And when they're asking for more, that's a good thing, right? And right now the industry is begging for more system-built communities and more system-built construction. And there's a lot of stuff Art of Construction is going to be releasing around that with our AOCIT house and a platform for all of us to better do this and put the overall message into this system-built community. And so can you talk about that when it comes to your new products that it has to offer and where it fits into the wider ecosystem, where we've been talking a lot about modular and the word modular, this goes into the whole marketing and communication because modular, prefab, et cetera, the MFers, the modular factories, a lot of them are still using the same stuff just in a building for a long time. You know, so there's this evolution of system built lifestyle and these communities all coming together. And it's such an honor to be leading this. And Chris, you coming out and talking about that, that's forming in the US. And I love when you organically say, you know, we put it out there to say, hey, we can system built storage units in this way. Cause I raised my hand, Chris, and I watched that video and I can't wait till this podcast is done. Cause everything you're talking about is the exact same way I was thinking and have an arsenal of people that are excited to talk about that. So just stop and smile for a minute and say, good on you for doing that. Right. And Chris, you and I didn't do this ourselves, right?
That's
it takes a group of people coming together for a common goal, right?
Yes, it does.
And so I'm going to kind of make sure I'm, and you can circle back and say if I'm missing this, because the way behind the scenes the Art of Construction podcast works is like this. The first 50, did them all myself. You can go back and listen, and I don't know how proud of them I am of the actual podcasts. But Chris, I'm really proud that I did it. Just like you should be really proud that you went out and led this alpha system, right? Mm-hmm. And so then where I had to leave Digital Built Week because our retreat center, which is part of the closed forum group we're building, where we built out this whole event center where we do specialized retreats, where we niche in with the influencers of the industry. And so I had to leave the conference a little bit early at Digital Built Week. And when I was reading the show notes for this podcast, I stopped at slide 19 I'm looking at. And slide 19 was around AOC show 262 titled Everyday Information Modeling. And that podcast was with Brian Mackey, who's the owner of BD Mackey Consulting. Back up a little bit. I'm at Digital Built Week and I'm with Brian Mackey at a happy hour. And Tribe, I can't tell you how important it is to get out face to face, as well as take the time to listen, understand, and do this stuff. When Brian says, Devin, it's super cool. I'm getting all these great calls and people that are, you know, wanting to learn more about BIM and how I can help them. And we didn't even title the podcast BIM. And if you go back and listen to show 262, he's just pointing off stuff of a lifelong of living and breathing and educating and how to make building informational modeling better. And on that podcast, he said, you know what? Sometimes you just have to remove the B from BIM and just talk about information modeling. And Chris, that's what you're talking about here. Sometimes you just got to stop and say, what is the information and the keyword right now of the AECO industry is engineering. And that's what you're talking about right now. Once we took the time to work on the business and understanding the engineering and putting marketing and systems in play, where Shannon Conrady, I had to leave. Shannon, the director of marketing for your team, walked up to Scotty, who did a wonderful job of teeing this up and has been a lifelong learner behind the scenes, leading and learning and growing the Art of Construction. And Shannon said, we're big fans of the Art of Construction. And Tribe, this is where I just want to pause and say, it's amazing when you put yourself out there and really go give in what you get. And now we're having this conversation where Shannon was talking about how Art of Construction and Brian Mackey, and now you guys are working with Brian Mackey. Is that correct?
It is correct.
You can't fake that. And so now you're looking to how do you improve your BIM process? And I talked about informational modeling, and now we're adding the B back into building informational modeling, and go look and listen to the recent podcast around marketing where we talked about the effing buzzwords, which was really fun, about the digital octuplets around BIM. So working with Brian Mackey, who you discovered by listening to the podcast, what's your version of that story? Because I raise my hand and say, we're all learning and growing together, but you have to have a digital representative of this developer to say, yeah, do the whole multifamily development and put some storage units in the back, right?
Yeah. Well, that's where I'll first say hats off to you. Good on you, Devin, for connecting people and doing what you're doing in the industry, because I mean, our particular story is he had a passion for improving our process in the field. And what was unique about the Alpha Framing System is that we did such a good job improving our performance in the field that we realized really now our weak point has become drafting and engineering and designing and integrating it back. I mean, the Alpha Framing System was developed and now we're kind of working backwards back into the design. Because it is a simpler system, we were doing it the old way, and it was just very cumbersome. And we improved. I would say most companies do it backwards or different than we have done it, which is kind of work through your drafting and engineering and then integrating the field into that process. We just by accident improved our system and now working back toward the drawing phases of our, or the design phase of our system. So
wait, you're actually building it and then making sure the digital representation can match the digital build can match the physical build, right? Versus other way around.
Well, what happened in a sense was the system becomes so much more simple that we just needed to redesign the way we draft and engineer the building. So just the way it come about, how we got his name or got Brian from your show is that we were working on a system to try to alleviate the labor process when in reality, once we'd done that, we were slow on the drafting and engineering side of things. So that was very unique in the sense that I say when we did it backwards, we fixed the field issue. Normally, what I hear from your show is there's the design and building integration and everything is trying to go from the drawing phase outward, and we kind of did it backwards. So.
Yeah, and the Art of Construction, I really appreciate you saying that, Chris, because that means the world to me, because that when it comes down to the core fundamental issues of what I was trying to solve and why I started the Art of Construction, if you go all the way back to 2014 when I started this thing, is when I own a window and door company, I'm trying to not reinvent the wheel when I get a shitty set of plans that nothing can be done from that because it's not actually going to work. And it was this part of we're all feeling the same thing, right? Nobody wants to pay all this time and money to do something that doesn't actually get physically built. Or if it does, it doesn't actually match the representation of the decision makers that are out set forth to make this happen. Right. And so that's what we're all trying to figure out. So what would you say to companies who are facing similar struggles to yours, but can't seem to find the time, right? We always talk about time and money, two things we don't have enough of. So how do you figure out to have enough energy or resources to properly R&D to grow their business?
I'm going to use an analogy of having children. I don't know that you're ever financially ready or prepared to have children and raise children. It's just one of those things that you do and you learn as you go. And R&D to me is very similar in the fact of, you know, there was years that we were frustrated with our business and we knew there was change that needed to come and need to be made in our industry, but everybody was so busy that they wouldn't take the time off to do it. And it's just one of those things that if anybody can get anything from me in the construction world is, like you said in the very beginning of the podcast, instead of working in your business, we should be working more on our business.
I love it. And the only constant is change, right? You talked at the beginning about how you had kids and you went and adopted kids. It probably was a little bit different adopting versus having your own kids, but that change is evolution. And you put the two together and you went from a family of just storage structures to going out and adding more to it, right? Kind of the same thing.
Yes. I didn't look at it that way, but kudos to you, Devin.
Well, Chris, as we get to close this thing out, this is the question I've asked every podcast as we get this thing going, and we'll do it forevermore. As we're really working, this podcast is for you, the master facilitators, and we're working on a new program for our master facilitators, really led by that master architect, master builder, all working together. And this podcast is for you, contractors and its affiliates, to connect the right construction technologies and the right materials, whether it's composite wood, steel, something new, something great, something old, something borrowed, something new, to connect it with the right construction technologies as we're launching the AOCIT house. That is not just one thing. It's an integrated network. Why? Because when Chris said, our customers said, we put this in front of them, they said, I want more. Tribe, that's what we're doing this. Because more is less and less is more to connect the right construction handshakes. So Chris, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
So my crystal ball says that we have developing the technologies here for it to change drastically. I mean, we know what's been developed. My fear, my crystal ball is that it can change drastically. I just, one of the headings on NBC this morning, I saw it was, what did it say? It was basically like, oh, chess playing robot breaks young boy's finger during match in Moscow. So one of my fears in this Sue happy world that we're living in, unfortunately, is integrating. How can we do this safely and integrate all these great ideas and developments that we could put in construction right now? How can we integrate them without worrying about us risking our companies at the expense of things like this, you know, where you want it to be safe, but how can we integrate them together? Because I think it's a big ask for somebody to do it start to finish. So I think you're going to have to integrate a lot of different people, but I do think the future of construction is going to change drastically in one form.
And it's from conversations like this where we're learning from each other. So as we close this thing out, what is that one thing, Chris, you want to leave our contractors and affiliates listening to this? And thank you for being a lifelong learner and listening and being a big fan of the art of construction and stepping up to the mic to go out there and crush it and grow their business.
Yeah, I would say R&D is, construction needs change. We need it. And I think that if you could work on your business instead of in your business, it would be my best suggestion for guys out there. We have turned it R&D into dollars for us. I mean, it took a time. It was a mountain to climb, but it is a reality that we're living now and we're seeing it. It's been a big benefit and a boost to our company to be able to get the extra speed and the extra business and making our owners happy as a result of both as well. So that's what I would suggest.
Awesome. Chris, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. We'll put information to your website and the Alpha system and all the collaboration and all the connections. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me, Devin. Appreciate it.
What a rewarding podcast, Tribe. It warms my heart and my soul so much when I'm hearing organic, true connections and so much coming together. And I'm just going to put this out there. I'm challenging today Scotty Hicken, who challenged me at Digital Build Week to say, Devin, all these people and all these connections, we got to add something more. And he did an amazing presentation. And I said, let's go, let's launch it. But as he's taught me and I've taught him, as Wyatt Earp said, speed is good, but accuracy is everything. And these are these accuracy working on the business and in the business. So it's like this, Tribe. We robots are not taking over the world. We are creating robots to build better buildings. We, humans. But we better integrate, or the right humans with the robots behind them are going to put you into checkmate. And so R&D is the future of the dollars, and you better figure out that camaraderie and the right way to work on the business and in the business. So hit us up on the message board, because we have something really special that we're launching around a group to really help you do those things and build better buildings through the right value to make us all work and grow together. Whether it's steel, wood, or something composite in between, this is why we have these fireside chats and the kindling to grow the global megaphone. Thank you so much for listening. Crush it. Go out there. Have as much fun as possible, but pay attention and be the one putting checkmate versus being on the other side of the table. Crush it out there, Tribe.